If you've been here very long, you can tell what the Spirit of God is doing in a lot of these services for about 8 months. The reason this church is growing so much, being a very young church, is because, well, number one, I always figured if you preach the Bible, I didn't say we wouldn't make mistakes, but if we preach the Bible, then people are going to have the freedom to come and receive the engrafted Word of God. The engrafted Word, when James talks about this, it's supposed to change your thinking, to think like God thinks. And when you think like He thinks, why would I say that? Because in a religious way, people would be going, "You're not God." I didn't say you're God. But we're sons and daughters of Him. And if we're His kids, then we need to think like Him. Okay. Well, the Word of God obviously teaches us how to think like Him. So when the Bible says to receive the engrafted Word of God that will save your soul, then we know our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. So that means if we get our minds changed and start thinking like this Word of God, then it's gonna help us. You're gonna start seeing manifestations, and you won't even have to come to the church for a preacher or a pastor or someone else to lay hands on you. You'll just receive it wherever. You, matter of fact, your wife can lay hands on you and receive it by faith. Amen. Matter of fact, there's times when I've had to lay hands on myself because no one was around. You know, stomach ache, be gone in Jesus' name. Sinuses, be gone in Jesus, you know, and that's what we have to do. But if you've been here for very long, for the last probably, well, however long it's been since we've been into this pandemic, you've seen God preparing His people for the end times. I mean, each message is just, I mean, yeah, I know a lot of times when you're in the political realm, you're going to hear things about political stuff, even behind this podium. And I got to be honest with you, I've told a lot of political people. It didn't matter if they were the judges and the ag commissioner that was here the other day, or any of those congressmen that came to our church that Mike McCloskey set up and had, I'm not afraid to say anything political behind this podium, because not one time in the history, matter of fact, that at a very big event yesterday that I preached in Giddings, Texas, I just preached a very short message. I mean, there was all kinds of people, and I'm not ashamed to let them know in the season that we're in, we got to stand on the principles of God. We can't be afraid. I think the church backed up way too much. And that's why our country has gone into an area that it didn't need to go into. I mean, we've kind of backed off as Christians, and we got out of the political process. And that's why things are happening. And so, thank God, on November the 3rd, then most of all those TV ads are going to be gone, and all those emails and texts that I've been getting are going to be gone. I'm getting a bunch of them, man. But what you're seeing right in the middle of a pandemic is God just, again, preparing His people for anything. Because anything can happen today. I mean, we're seeing some crazy things happen. And it's amazing how God then uses ones that you would never think He would use to lead our country or to be the pastor of a church, but yet God did. And so I want to continue on preparing this church for the end times. I believe we're in them. Matter of fact, some prophetic people have declared that, you know, things are not going to get better in the world system. But I'm here to tell you, we have protection, and His name's Jesus. And we're not going to get in fear. We're going to stay in faith. And we're going to continue to stand. I told a big group that I've told this church, men, teach your moms, your wives, and your daughters, and your granddaughters how to shoot a gun. Don't be afraid of that. Because you look at all through the Bible, God wants you to protect. And I'm just telling you, That 9mm is good protection. Amen. But listen to me. What's better is the name that's above every name.
Amen.
Jesus, the Bible says, has a name. And when you call on the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. I remember one time I was driving down the road, and I had my wife with me. I had a long trailer full of horses. It was a big living quarters trailer. It was a 4-star back then. One of my very first trailers. And we had just been in Albuquerque, New Mexico, did a church service, probably roped there, and we were coming home where we lived in Level Land, Texas at the time. We'd started church at the barn there that we turned over there in Lubbock, and turned that over to Ted and Jan Currington several years ago, about probably 17, 18 years ago now, before we came here. And as I was driving, the Spirit of God said, "Say the name Jesus." And I didn't know. You know, I wasn't prayed up. I wasn't listening. I might have been listening to George Strait. I don't know. But I just remember the Spirit of God said, "Say Jesus." And then he said it again, "Say Jesus." So I just, with my family, and we didn't have Seth at the time. We just had London, and she was a baby. And so I said, "Jesus." And as I went over the hill, about 5:30 to 6 o'clock, the sun was already dropped, couldn't see, you know, that time when you can't see very well. An 18-wheeler was turning in the middle of the road, trying to turn around. And here I have a brand new baby. I have my wife. I have about 3 horses, a long living quarters trailer. And had I not obeyed God and said Jesus, that again is the name above every name, then, oh, no telling what would have happened. And thank God I got slowed down, because this 18-wheeler, you know, they're not supposed to turn in the middle of a road. And he was trying to turn around. You see, there's something about God's protection. And so as I was praying about this service, the Lord just began to deal with me in one area called standing. You stand. You know, the Bible says when you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. You see, there's something about standing on the Word of God and not backing up, not going back to the days of Babylon. You know, that's just the days before you gave your life to Jesus, when all the chaotic things happened. I'm not saying chaotic things can't happen right in the midst of you serving the Lord, but thank God then you have God on your side. You have someone that you can call on, someone you can cast every care upon. So we need to literally be standing on the Word of God. The Apostle Paul dealt with this, as you and I are going to have to stand in these last days, because we're going to see a lot of weird things happen. We're going to see the division remain. Now, as a Christian, I'm not trying to confess something negative right there. Don't get me wrong. Y'all know me. I confess the Word of God. I mean, the Bible says, "Let nothing proceed out of your mouth but that which would edify the listener or the hearer." So I'm not speaking in negative, but I understand the end times. I understand the enemy is going to move just as much as God's going to move. So it's real important to get into the river of blessing and don't stand on the side bank. It's time we get on in and allow the blessing to overtake us. The protection, praise God. That's why I'm constantly praying. Psalms 91. Pray it every time. Ask the boys that practice with us. Usually I pray, "Father, I thank you, Lord, that I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I thank you, Lord, that I abide under the shadow, the protection of you, Almighty God. And I declare with my mouth that you are my refuge, you are my fortress, you alone who I trust in." And when He's our refuge and our fortress, that means that He's our source of everything. He's our peace. He's our joy. And what the reason that I pray these things is because the enemy, the Bible says, is trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. Of course, we keep reading. The Bible says Jesus came that we might have life and more abundant life, right? But He's still trying to destroy marriages. He's trying to destroy health. All kinds of things are happening today that He's trying to destroy. And we're going to need to stand like we've never stood on the Word of God. Matter of fact, London, they sent me the video of her at the college rodeo. She turns her first barrel great. She gets to her second barrel, and that horse slips out on his side. Well, her head was right there at the barrel. I mean, don't think for one. I've seen women killed that way when they hit that barrel with their head. And here my daughter is the one that's on the ground. Well, that's why we need to stand on the Word of God more than any other time, because the enemy does not want you to have victory in your life. He wants you to constantly be defeated. So here the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 begins to deal with a few things. And he says this in verse 1. Are y'all there? Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore. This is the King James. Listen to that. Let me say it again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where with Christ. Obviously, you don't want to do anything without Him, right? In the liberty with Christ has made us free, not to be entangled with the yoke of bondage. That simply means the yoke of slavery that you once put off. All that simply means is that when you gave your life to Jesus, 1979, May the 10th was me. Otis Baptist Church in Otis, New Mexico, right outside, to the south of Carlsbad. That's where I walked down the aisle, gave my life to Jesus. My uncle was the pastor there, Uncle Tommy. I got saved, gave my life to Jesus, and got the Bible. And that's how I remembered from this day. I got the Bible because it said May the 10th, 1979. And most people don't remember that. So I just thank God that I just remember that day. That was my day. Okay. The Bible says on that day, old things passed away. And then all things became new in my life. But they didn't become new until I got in this Bible. I think that messes a lot of people up. Listen to me real fast. It messes a lot of people up because they think when people get saved, they're supposed to miraculously change in all areas of their life. No. It doesn't work that way. You've got to get your mind renewed on the Word. In other words, that prostitute that came into our service years ago in Canyon, Texas, gave her life to Jesus. She cried, remember, the whole service. I've told you this story. She sat right on the left side. As I was singing, at the very start of the service, she was crying. And then at the end, obviously, she gave her life to Jesus. And she came up to me after the service with all those college kids there, because it was a major college town. Lots of college kids at the time. Wow. She gave her life to Jesus. She told me she's a prostitute, worked that street. And she said something told her to come in into that service. Just the glass doors were on the left side where she came in from the street. And I'll never forget her crying, but then when she came to me, wow, all those kids are around just rejoicing with her, giving her life to Jesus. You want to talk about cussing? She said, I thank God that I don't have to be around those blankety blank. And all those college kids are like, ooh! I don't have to be around those blankety blank people again in my life, because Jesus is now the Lord of my life. Now the old religious folk would say, must have not got saved, because do you hear how she's talking? It's kind of like a Catholic that gets born again. They're just a born again Catholic until they renew their mind. Doesn't have a thing to do with their... Was that funny? Because listen to me. If they say with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou, say it with me, shalt be saved. In order to learn who you are in Christ Jesus, then you've got to start learning who you are. Again, that woman will just be a born-again prostitute until she starts learning how to control that tongue. How she starts learning how to speak the Word of God. Because she's having to deal with things that the only thing she knows in her mind is the world. So when we give our lives to Jesus, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Before that, you had to live by the law. You had to live for God because He said so. It was law. Now, because of what Jesus did, dying on a cross, right? This is basic things for Christianity. Since Jesus died, now, praise the Lord, we get to serve God because we want to, not because we have to. Okay? So look at this again. When the Apostle Paul is telling the Galatian people in verse 1 to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, because you now have liberty if you're saved. If you're not saved, you're going to be saved today. You have liberty where with Christ He's made you free. I like the Amplified because it says with Christ He's made you free and completely liberated you. I like, let me see if it's going to pull it up, but I went to the Message Bible and I wanted to just read that because it said Christ has set us free to live a free life. And then it says, so take your stand on what you believe. Take your stand on your Christianity. Take your stand in a country that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Take your stand in your city and in your county and let God reign and not let the world reign in our lives. And I'm not talking about in our personal lives, but we're going to have to live in the world. We're just not going to live of the world. So when we live in a world, we're going to have to allow God to be the center of everything we do, including the government, including the city, including the county. He needs to be a part of everything, and we cannot be ashamed of that. We have to back our shoulders up and pull our chest out and stand on the Word of God. And when they try to bring that religious nonsense or they try to remove God from our country, you and I are going to stand up and say no in Jesus' name. Remember, Jesus has a name above every name. And if you and I will do that, and by the way, get out and vote. Why in the world did I hear that 50 million Christians are not registered to vote? Yo mama, you should be. Get out and vote and do what that's the system that God put into our democracy. Voting. Not a dictatorship. The only one that's in control is our God. But some people don't want Him to be in control. All right. I'm getting excited. All right, now let's go to, let me finish reading the Message Bible in verse 1. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. What that means is you were a slave to sin before you gave your life to Jesus. He's now the Lord of your life and not sin. If you're a slave to anything, you're a slave to Jesus Christ. But He just doesn't use those terminologies. He just calls you a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You see, that means a whole lot more than even a servant of God. Even though you serve, you're actually a son of God. Yeah, but I haven't acted like a son. Yeah, but you're not moved by your five physical senses. You're not moved by what you hear. You're not moved by what you smell, taste, touch, or whatever. You know what you're moved by? The Word. So it means that if you did something wrong in your past, even this morning, thank God for forgiveness and grace and mercy. Praise God. See, that'll make an Episcopalian shout right there. I mean, thank God you can be happy in the freedom of the Word of God through Christ Jesus. All right? Look at verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall not profit you nothing. And all that simply means circumcision here is referring to the law. You don't want to live by that law. You don't want to live by, I have to serve God because mama did it. And great grandmama did it and so on. I'm following what they believe. No. You want to serve God because it's an honor. It's an honor to serve our Jesus. Not some church. Not some preacher. No, Jesus. The great priest. The author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Okay. So look at this. So he's saying, I testify against you that every man that This is verse 3. He is a debtor to do the whole law. But Christ is become of no effect unto you if you live that way. So whosoever of you are justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. We through the Spirit, though, wait for the hope of righteousness through faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails, that's the law. The law's not going to availeth in our life anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith works through love. Okay? I want y'all to see this morning. In these last days, as we stand on the Word of God, right in the midst of trials, right in the midst of tribulations, because we're gonna be tempted to live in all of them. I think if I went through this crowd, I could probably hear a lot of testimonies of trials and tribulations that we've all are possibly in right now. I mean, there's people that you don't know it maybe, but they're in addictions like you've never seen. There's people right now, and I don't know if y'all know it, but I've just been praying for my wife. She's had to deal with some tragedy with her sister up north, and it just broke our heart. So my wife is there tending to the family because a little boy got in trouble. Little 14-year-old boy. He snuck out, got a case of beer, got drunk. Showed up at and called my sister's or Jamie's sister's little girl. They was like best friends, this boy and her. At 3 a.m, she said, she barely remembers it because she wasn't awake, but she said, "You get home." So he gets home, sneaks back out, goes to another friend's house. The mom, because they just had a bunch of fires up there. As a matter of fact, the one fire burnt 80% of a ranch up there. And had we not started praying, we put a little prayer list out on Facebook text, and it stopped. That stopped, and it saved all their livestock, all their home, their barns. But it destroyed 80% of the ranch. All the grass gone. And she was awake because she's a little nervous, and she heard the kids, and there was about 5 of them at this time, and so she got on to him, called their parents, and this little boy got in trouble. And I guess it just devastated him so much. He got grounded that he went behind the barn, took a gun, shot himself. This is a 14-year-old boy. My wife's been crying, and her sister, and I mean the whole community, a little town in Miami, Texas, is like, wow. Why would a little boy, 14-year-old, listen to me, why would a little boy, 14-year-old, have those thoughts in his mind to begin with? You know why? Because we're in the last days. And that's my job now, is I said, Jamie, you get up there and you speak life to them. You start telling, this is the craziest thing, because the Spirit of God just said, hey, you tell all those kids to get mad at that boy. And you know why I said that? Is because healing comes when you get mad. Not angry. Not angry where sin is. But you get mad that he left this earth and it didn't hurt him, it hurt everybody else. It was a very selfish thing to do. And if they can get mad and say, how dare him do that? Then it's going to stop them from those thoughts and cause those thoughts to be gone in Jesus' name. So you see, that's right in the midst of a trial and tribulation that we've got to stand on the Word of God. So I'm ticked off at the enemy. A little boy. I said, Seth knew him, a little boy. They're the same age. I'm like, why? Why, sir? Because there's a devil and we're in the end times. And us as believers can keep our kids from that stuff if we stand on this word. And that's what we got to do. Our kids that are in college, man, we got to pray over them. It's time that we get a attitude of prayer. I've had this attitude of prayer that, well, sir, I just pray better on the road. And I do. I'm just not one that gets in the closet. I mean, I've got a lot of evangelists in me. So I want to move, man. So I'm liable to pray on the road. But I've been more sensitive in the area of prayer. I mean, I got up at 3 in the morning and I went and laid hands on my sleeping child. I just wanted to speak the word of God because the enemy is trying to destroy them. But you and I cannot allow the enemy to win. We've got to pray over those children. We got to pray Psalms 91 over them. But here's the thing, we're doing it out of love, right? Okay, I gotta get to this one part. As I saw that bald spot as I was running. I don't know why. I need to back up the stairs. All right, now look. Look at verse 7 here. You did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not from him that called you. Golly, let me read that in the Amplified. I'm going to spend just a second on it and then we'll close. In the Amplified it says, you were running the race nobly. Who has interfered in and hindered and stopped you from heeding and following the truth? The evil persuasion is not from him who called you, who invited you to the freedom in Christ. Here's what that means, guys. Is the enemy, I say it all the time. I told some of the guys, if you want to understand the Bible, this is how I teach to understand the Bible. It's real simple. Ready? God is good. The devil is bad. Let me say it again. God is good. Say it with me. The devil's bad. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. So all you really have to do is judge what's good and what's not good. If it's good, it comes from God. Okay, so let's take that. Cancer. Is that good or is that bad? So it's basic, right? It's bad. So why would God then get the blame for what's bad? That's what this is saying right here. Who hindered you from not receiving the truth of the Word of God? Who hindered you? Well, a lot of people will say, well, you know, God, He needed to humble me. We've talked about that plenty of times, haven't we? You come here, you won't believe that trash. Because nowhere in the Word of God does it say God humbles anyone. He says humble yourself, though. But a lot of people have just heard it somewhere. You know, God humble you, brother. And that's not God. Say it with me again, class. God is good. The devil's bad. Anything bad does not come from God. So here God is saying, who is the one that hindered you? I mean, you were on this noble trail of truth. You were believing the Word of God, and then, bam, a trial and tribulation. And that's what I told Jamie. You get up there. I wish I could. But you get up there and you speak life. You speak the Word of God. Do not memorialize that young boy. Even though we're going to be sad and we're going to be with the parents and we're going to try to educate about what happened, that boy did not do right. But somehow before, we should have got to him. And I know that's where the temptation now is going to be. Gosh, I wish I would have got to his thing. Well, sure enough, he'd been talking about suicide months before. Okay, so my job as a pastor is to get our crowd. I mean, that's why I laid hands on Seth. I spoke life over. He's sleeping. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I want y'all to do that to all your kids. While they're sleeping, I want you. They won't wake up either. I mean, they're sawing some logs. They've been in football. I want you to lay hands on them and you say, Father, I thank you, Lord, that the protection of God is all over my children in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that every hindrance, every attack that the enemy would bring against this boy or girl is gone in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that angels protect this boy in Jesus' name. You see, or that girl. You see, that's what we need to be doing. Because in the midst of a trial and tribulation, there's a lot of temptation for kids to go that other way. Matter of fact, the last time they had this tragedy happen up in the north, one kid killed themselves, and then two more tried to do the same thing. One tried to hang themselves, one cut the wrist. So listen to me, that's a spirit. And if you don't tend to it, it's going to remain. That's why I try to tell every new person that comes to visit our church, if you left your church offended, please tend to that offense before you get here. Because if you don't, it's going to come here eventually. I mean, you're going to love it for a while, but then that spirit is going to... So what you do is, and I'm not saying you go back to that church. No, you get away, but make sure you have no unforgiveness. Make sure you forgive. It's a clean slate. You pray for your enemies. You pray for that church, whatever they might have done. Because listen, things happen in church, right? I mean, I know people that's left this church because someone sat in their seat. You better be called to be a pastor. Because if you try to do my job, you would commit suicide. It would make you want to. But thank God, God's called me, so I'll tend to it. You know what I'm going to do? If there's a spirit of suicide on our children, we're going to break it in Jesus' name. I mean, we've been dealing with some crazy things going on. I mean, do you realize the devil that's in this sex trafficking? It is amazing how strong it is. Not my wife. She's packing. But I'm telling you, she's ready. She better be vigilant. We trained our daughters. Okay, the reason I'm saying all this is we have to stand, y'all. Now, I'm not talking about getting in fear. I'm not talking about being Debbie Downers. No, I'm talking about we're going to live in faith. We're going to be protected by the blood of Jesus. We're going to speak the name that's above every name. And we're going to do it in love. And when we do it in love, watch God move. So today, stand. You stand on that word of God. I don't care how much word you know or don't know. It's time we stand. That's why we're standing with our country. Did y'all see our new billboard sign? Has anybody seen it? You know, they think that billboard, that digital one at 29 and 183 is ours. It took me 2 years to get it up with the council. But it's not ours. It's a company that owns it. We've just been on it from day one. And I said, you know what I want you to put? I called Heidi. I said, I want you to put, we vote one nation under God. Amen. So it's time that we start standing in all areas of our life. You watch what your children listen to. You watch what they look at. That's a hard thing right there, guys. Ooh, man, because my little boy, he like me. He wants to be in the middle of the fun. But I'm still going to say, hey, I'll just tell y'all, don't tell him I told you, though. But he hadn't had his phone in a while, so I said, hey, what I'm going to start doing, because you got that grade up, is I'm going to let you have your phone during the day. You're going to turn it in at night. I said, man, he's been faithful. He said, here, Dad, until last night. And I said, hey, phone. Hey, Dad. Let me work a deal with you. I said, give me that phone, sucker. Glory be to God. Anyway, but hey, that's just part of it. Listen to me. Let's stand. Let's stand on this word. Amen. It's good for you. God loves you. Even if you make a mistake, keep standing. Man, that God is so faithful. I love our God. Right in the midst of heartbreak, He's the mender of broken hearts. Gosh. I'm standing on the word. Yeah, go ahead and start that music. I like that. He's just a great God. Amen. So if you're going through some things this morning, let me give you some advice. Get through them. I should have done that this way. Get through them. Get on through them. Don't stay in them. You've got the Word of God. And it's time to stand. 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 Amen. Man, He loves you. He loves you. Oh, man, He loves y'all. He's so... He said, you've been a good son and daughter. You've been faithful. He said, you can do it. Come on. You can do it. Someone on this side, really. I don't know who it is, but man, just the Lord wants to just edify you and just remind you, you can do it. You're a winner. You're not a loser. You're a winner. You can do it. You can do it. Whatever it is. If that was you, I would just, underneath my breath, or shout it out loud. I don't care. I receive that. Amen. You can do it. You are precious in the eyes of the Lord. Man, He loves you. Loves you big time. Glory be. He loves your praise. Oh, man. I mean, you just come bouncing up, and her husband's somewhere in the back. He loves your praise. She came to me and she said, I can't. I got to be at the front praising the Lord. And the Lord delights in that. Mm-mm. He sees your heart. Oh, man. Thank you for that song. Mm-mm-mm. And you're worthy. Because you deserve God's best. You do. But you got to know it. You got to know it. Amen. You deserve it no matter what. And He's got a lot for you to do. You've been faithful. And you've been standing. But now it is time. Rise up. Let God go ahead and open the doors. You haven't opened them. That's the greatest thing. You haven't opened the door. But I think it's time now that you go through the door that's opened and just let God do whatever He's called you to do. Just let Him do it. Amen? And you'll know. But thank God that being worthy is something. And man, you are such a mighty man of God. You know what I mean? Because He's one of your favorites. He just is. I mean, He loves you very much. And you're worthy. Amen?
Amen.
He gave me a sword, too. Gave you a sword, the Word of God. Amen? Fight every devil. All through the service, the Spirit of God wanted me to continue to remind you. I think this message was a lot of times for you in lots of ways. Because you've been fighting the good fight of faith. And you know the area, of course, and I think I do too. But man, how easy would it be for you to give up on that huge thing that God wants to birth in our country and then go to the world? What He's put in your heart and gave you the mind to invent, to create. That's how I see it, to create. That's going to help a lot of people. Oh, man. Yeah, the enemy's fighting it because he doesn't want good to come. He doesn't want people to get healed of cancer. That's why He gave you. Help me, Holy Ghost. He gave you the order and the formula. But you got to keep standing. Because if you give up now, it's not going to take place. I mean, and even the obstacles of the government that's coming against you. I mean, there's doctors that's going to sit under you just so they can learn from what God's giving you here. That's now down in here. So you can't give up, okay? I mean, you stand strong. Everybody else is like, what is going on? What did he invent? Well, they'll know one day. Because the guy's the one that put it in your mind. Amen? Amen? God, praise God. God bless you. God bless you, man. You're such a mighty, mighty man of God. Amen? Mighty man of God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy evermore. You are good. You are good. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that if there's anyone that's not born again, that they would give your life to, that they would give their life to you right now. So draw their heart to you in Jesus' name. Everybody in the sound of my voice, if you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer. If you know Jesus, I want you to pray with someone possibly around you. And let's pray and ask Jesus to come into our lives. You ready? I'm talking about anybody watching or in this congregation that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life. I want you to do it right now. And pray this prayer with us all. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you just prayed that prayer, you didn't know if you died, if you'd go to heaven or hell. But you just prayed and asked Jesus to come into your life. The Bible says you're saved. You're born again. Thank God. When you leave this earth, you're going to go to heaven and not hell. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time with boldness, don't be ashamed of raising your hand up and putting it right back down when I count to three. All I'm going to do is I'm going to count one, two, three. And when I say three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand if you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life for the first time to Jesus. You never had. You didn't know what would happen to you if you died, but you just prayed. If you just did that, get that hand up. You ready? On the count of three with boldness. One, two, three. Go. Praise God. All right, look at me, everybody. Very, very seldom at this church is there not one hand raised. I'm okay with that. But my heart is I want people saved. So that's got to be our heart. That's how we have to continue to pray, is to bring people that maybe doesn't know the Lord. You need to get them saved out there first, really. And then bring them here. All the new people, thank you so much for coming. Honored to have you. If you don't have a church home, I pray this one will be your church home one day. And if not, I pray that you find a good Bible-believing church where you can grow into. It's where you're planted is where you'll grow. Amen? In 2 weeks, anybody that's never joined our church, it'd be an honor to have you join. We should make a covenant together. We don't vote you in, therefore we won't vote you out. But we do make a covenant and we pray over each other. And there's something about joining and planting into a church. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to do that. Amen. I want you to get in your mind to not miss our women's conference coming up on November the 14th. You can go online at wccowboychurch.org. And I think it's $30 for the women. And that gets you a breakfast and a lunch. They're catering it in. That's why it's costing. Please don't miss that. Every lady needs to be there. Because that's how we grow as women. And then men, the next weekend, the 21st, I believe, is our men's conference. I've got Chip Brim coming, which is a mighty man of God. Billy Brim's boy. Billy Brim has the Prayer Mountain in Missouri or whatever. It's amazing. The ministry that's coming. Rusty Feltz and myself is going to do the men's group. It's just $20-$25 because we're not doing lunch, but we're cooking fajitas. And so we'll have three messages. It's all one day, each one, the women's conference and the men's. So men, on the 21st, that's not a day to go hunting. You hear me? Your spiritual life is a lot better, because if you get your spiritual life, you'll be able to call in that buck. Just come on in, baby. Stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed. Love you guys very much. Did you have a good time this morning? Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time. Thank you, Father, for signs and wonders that happened here this morning. We just praise you that, again, we don't want another dead church service. We want people to have life. And when we leave here, you don't stay here. You get to go with us, because you never leave us. You never forsake us. So, Father, thank you for going with us until we come back Tuesday night for Bible study that we have here at 7 o'clock, 6:30 to fellowship, or till we come back next Sunday. God, thank you for being our God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.